views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Voices of Women is a talk radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Well, welcome to Voices of Women, and happy Friday, everybody. I hope where you are, it's sunshine, and it is in Seattle today after a lot of rain that we've had. Well, I'm excited today because actually I'm doing something that's different, and that I'm interviewing about a book that's a novel. And, you know, mostly I do nonfiction and the self-help, mind, body, spirit books. But, you know, I love fiction and I love stories, and you get a lot from reading fiction books, and especially with our author today. She's written a book that actually can be used as a self-help book. It's Renee Molan Masters. She has worked as a speech pathologist in California in her own private practice for 10 years, and she developed the You Are Smarter Than You Think program and also the book, which I've interviewed her about before. The book is You Are Smarter Than You Think, and I love that thought that because we do that to ourselves. And after the passing of her husband, her life totally changed, and she decided to do what she always wanted to. So she began writing her first novel, which is The Friendship Pod Affair. And that is launching on May 9th. It got delayed, so it's not ready now. It'll be an Amazon campaign on May 9th. And it's also being written into a screenplay, and the film is in works. So, The Friendship Pod Affair is a story about courage between three unlikely people to become friends and break the bonds of hatred. So, welcome, Renee.
Thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, well, congratulations on creating your first novel. It's I know that's quite an accomplishment.
Well, it was a very fun journey. It was fun to discover this artistic place that my mom, who was a painter, would go to. And when I was a little tiny girl, come off the bus, I would go and sit with her and go to that same place that she would go. And it's a delightful place of creativity. And so that's where I went, and that's where this book found me, and I just typed away, and out it came.
So that happened in kind of your transition of your husband. I mean, you were married for 30 years, and then, you know, boom, you're not anymore. What was that like to go through, you know, was it an instant idea that, hey, you know, I've always wanted to write, or did it take time for that to come to you?
Well, it's I was in a transition for about, maybe a year or so. It was, you know, it's tough to let go of somebody that you've had with you for 30 years. And I bumped into a book called Daring Greatly by Brené Brown. And I took her online class. And in the class, she talked about being in the arena. And when you lose somebody close to you, like your husband, you realize, oh, man, life is not permanent. And I just decided I'm going to jump in. I'll see what happens. I'm willing to fail. I have a strong sense that I'm supposed to do this, so I'm going to trust it and go with it. And that's what happened.
Well, that's great, because it's not easy for some people, and some people struggle with that, making that transition, and, you know, what's next in your life. And it sounds like you were able to tap into remembering a passion. So And I read somewhere where you'd written that you consider yourself a messenger. And I would, through this story in the book, it's being a messenger, but I also say it's a storyteller. I mean, there's stories are so important. And how does that relate to this new book, being a messenger?
Well, about 15 years ago, I had a reoccurring dream where I had an experience that I came here. Some person, some being told me to come back here and that I would be a person who would bring stories to the world that would change the way people do things. And the way I'm speaking very honestly, I hope I'm not offending anyone, but it's kind of like we get stuck in a rut and we think that there's only one way to do something. And this story is about not using retribution as a way to get rid of the pain. And in our society, in the whole of the world, we have a belief system that says retribution is the way we deal with pain. Even a little tiny kid, somebody steals his toy, he just, you know, a little boy will go and haul off the other kid with his fist. And we think it's funny. And the problem is that retribution is not a solution. It's one solution, but it's not a solution for everything. And the three characters in my book are they're brave and they think outside the box, and something very awful happens to them, and they are told to respond in a new way, and they are told to say the words, "No more." That this violence, this pain, this angst, this ends with them. And they then discover a way to heal the wound and to actually sit down with their enemy.
Mm-hmm. And we'll get more into that. But I want to ask you, if there's a reason, because your characters you chose are from Palestine and Israel, and obviously that's, you know, been a huge conflict area in the world for quite a while. And what was the reason that you, was there a reason that you chose that particular country?
Well, it's all been serendipitous in a way. My editor, I asked her if I could write fiction. She said, "You won't know unless you try." And about 3 months after that, she called me up, and she had done an interview of a lady who had had these camps for 20 years. So I went to her website, and I read all the reports that the kids made, and the reports were that at camp they made friends very easily. But when they got home, their friends turned on them. And I thought, okay, here's the story, because I wanted to write a story that... that was a great story to read, that inspired the reader, and also focused on solution instead of the problem. And so that's what this story does, and that's where the impulse came from, is that those camps that have been happening here in the United States for a long time.
Yeah, that's great. I know I hadn't heard of the camps, but I do know of like there's Peace Trees Vietnam, where they... Danan Perry here, he's passed away quite a few years ago, but he would set up where you'd have youth from two warring countries come together, go to another country, and plant trees.
Yes.
And so, of course, bonds are made and friendships are made, and you see beyond those borders, and it's the same kind of thing. And so it's great to hear that these camps, so I didn't know, you know, I didn't know if that was a, you know, because it's in the fiction part of your book, that and that's great because and I am curious too, because I had a sense that there's an aspect of the book that it feels like it's written for young people, and I think that's a great age to get people thinking about how to do things differently. Did you have any intention for that, or
no? I've wanted to write it so that young people, older people, middle-range people, all people would want to read it. And I think that from what we're, you know, just throwing it out into the world and getting feedback from readers, that it doesn't matter what your age is. It's a great story. Mm-hmm. It's inspiring, and it does have young people in it, but they're not you know, they're in their 20s when the story ends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and their parents are involved too. So you're dealing with whole generations of responses to the conflict, and you know, the, like I said, them. We don't want to give it away, but the horrible thing that happens, and dealing with all that.
Yeah, and
you see the different layers, because there's young people dealing with it, and there's older people dealing with it, and everybody has a different way of dealing with a catastrophe.
Exactly, and it's you know, it's a sad thing that so many people do that to one another, and it's not just in Israel and Palestine. It's a, you know, that's the poster child of conflict. But everybody has that kind of conflict in their families.
Mm-hmm.
We have it in our cities.
Yeah, and we're seeing it now in our country too. You know,
yes.
Vision of, you know, we're needing people to get together, and we're going to talk about that when we come back. That, I mean, the title is Friendship Pod Affair. So we're going to talk about what is a friendship pod and how that works and how that is a healing element for these people who have this catastrophe that happened. So, yeah, that's the beauty of the book, to see, like you talked about, it has resolutions. It isn't just creating, here's the problem, and here's this horrible thing that happened, and then it still ends and doesn't end with any resolution. Like, you've really come up with a model for people, no matter what kind of conflict they're in. You know, even your families are between friends, that you can use just from what you have written in your book, in your story in your book. Well, we're going to take a quick break now, and we're going to come back and talk more with Renee Molin Masters about the Friendship Pod Affair.
Gifted intuitive healer and spiritual teacher, Sarah Luce, brings her unique style to the hit show, Small Steps, Big Breakthrough Radio, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in each month as Sarah turns reality on end and shows us how to experience expansive results with simple yet powerful steps. Expect an enlightening bend on what you currently believe is possible. For show details and upcoming topics, visit SarahLuce.com. That's SarahLuce.com.
Miss any shows during the week?
No!
Don't worry, we've got you covered.
Yahoo!
With the free Transformation Talk Radio app, you'll have access to all of the past week's shows in the palm of your hand.
Yes!
Tune in to Transformation Talk Radio anywhere you go with our free app for any of your devices. Check out our app in the App Store and Google Play Store today.
To see your life from an angel's perspective, book a personal consultation with Claire Candy Hoff, angelic walk-in angel Ariel at Angel Healing House. Candy provides intuitive counseling, Reiki, and angel readings in person in Los Angeles or nationally and internationally via phone or Skype. She will channel the practical tools you need to transform your life. Call now, 831-277-3716, or visit angelhealinghouse.com.
When your body is awakened, your spirit comes alive. Dana Canetto is a transformational guide, embodiment coach, and spiritual mentor assisting women in realigning with their truth and embodying who they are by connecting to the wisdom of their body. Tune in every month on Transformation Talk Radio and the Dr. Pat Show Network for Body Divinity Radio with Dana Canetto. For more information on Dana and her services, visit danacanetto.com. That's danacanetto.com.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Well, Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stanis, and I have Renee Molan Masters here today, author of The Friendship Pot Affair. So, Renee, we said we were going to come back and now talk about what is a friendship pod. And so I'd love for you to share what that is, how it worked, and then even how the characters worked it in the book, what happened to them, and all the details.
Okay. Well, the friendship pod was, they first experienced it at camp. And basically what it is that people sit in a circle. And the ground rule is there's no crosstalk, so they can't interrupt when a person is talking. And the third thing is that they have to share what's important to them. And most people have never shared what's important to them. And when they sit in the circle and they share what's important to them, and the other people are listening, what happens, and we don't, most people don't know it's happening, but a connection is made with the people in the circle. And the way we do it in the book is that after they share, they play a game, a simple game, like maybe hitting a balloon in the air, and then they share a treat. And they don't talk about what they talk about in the circle. Now, the magic of the circle is that when that connection is made, the story that has created the angst, the hatred, gets less. It just starts to dissipate. And how that happens, and this is a real process. It really can work. I've seen it. I did it with a friend that was voting differently than myself. And we both shared how we felt. And after that share was over, I felt just a lot less, I didn't need to change her. It was okay for her to feel the way she felt. I cared about her more than I did before. I felt a connection even though she was different, thought differently than I did. And it surprised me. And that's the kind of thing that happens in the story. And in the story, the Israeli girl and the Palestinian boy get married. And the father of the son, the Palestinian father, really hates this idea. And he goes to the first pod. He is so resistant. He, as a matter of fact, comes into the pod and leaves three times. But what happens to him is that everything changes for him. The hatred that he has held for Israelis gets less. And all of a sudden, he starts to actually like his daughter-in-law. And nothing is said, nothing is worked on, nothing is debated, nothing is, it's not about that. It's about being honest and saying, this is how I feel, and not discussing it, and letting people just receive you. And out of that, this is what I think goes on. I think that when you're honest and somebody else receives you, there is a love that gets created. And I've always heard love can heal anything. And I think that's what love does in this situation. It just makes the angst, the hatred, the pain less. And over time, it almost disappears.
Yeah, that's the magic of it. And it was interesting to, yeah, you're right, because remembering the book, the father, he's finally opens up to share, because some of these things, this hatred they have for another nationality that is carried from generation to generation, or there's something current that happened that somebody was killed in their family, and so there's reasons behind their hatred, and when they're being honest and sharing their feelings, it's like you're able to let go a little bit of that hatred. It's that internal work. It was his work. It wasn't for the group to solve it for him. He had to.
But I don't think you know, he didn't even have to do any introspection, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, not really. He just had to be willing to be honest. And he's such a, you know, he's such a jerk that he, you know, he comes in an arrogant way and shares it from an arrogant perspective. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because he's heard and he's received. He's not judged and nobody wants to change him. And out of that, then there is space for him to feel different. And that's the beauty of the friendship pod.
Well, excuse me. And I remember he discovered that he was, because he had problems with some people at work, that he noticed the problems were starting to go away. So it was working on him in an internal way, like not his mind, but he noticed the difference in himself.
It freaked him out at first. He went and talked to his son. He says, "What's going on here? What happened here?" Because he's not as angry. He noticed his best friend said, "Boy, what's wrong with you? You're not as angry." And it freaks him out. It's like that was an old friend he had, his anger. And that anger had just really kind of dissipated and gone out the door. And so that's the magic of the pods.
Well, also, when you look at, you know, anger on yourself, it hurts you more than you think you're, I mean, some people take it on and feeling anger is being projected onto them, but really it hurts the person more who's being angry, impacts your whole life. It's like you're running the energy of anger. And where does that get you? But being unhappy and having people not want to be around. All sorts of things happen because you're not able to release anger or whatever the feelings are that hold us back.
What's really beautiful about the pod is that a lot of people are not very introspective. They don't want to work on themselves. Okay, fine. But what can happen in these circles is that it allows the person to at least express themselves. Most people have never had the opportunity to express what's important to them. And this kind of a pod can work. We've been experimenting with using it in families, getting teenagers to communicate with family members. You can use it in businesses to get teams to working together. You can use it in cities, so that you can get projects through a lot easier. I would love to use it in the federal government and get Republicans and Democrats together.
Mm-hmm.
It's a powerful, powerful tool. It's so simple. That's part of its power.
I was curious, because you mentioned these camps, that you went and talked to somebody who has had these camps, bringing these people from Palestine and Israel together. Do they do the friendship pod there? Is that where this came from or something like that? And
no, basically the idea sort of is a combination of, there's a book out called The Zim Zoom of Relationship, I think that's the name. And it talks about this process. And it's a process that a lot of people have talked about. And what it is like, in relationship, if let's say that the wife comes in and doesn't close the front door, and the husband gets upset about it, what do you normally do? You debate it. You go back and forth, and the wife gets defensive and doesn't do anything. But in this book, this relationship book, they talk about each person needs to say how they feel, and then they let it go. And then what will happen is that over time, within a few hours, they'll have a new perspective on it, and the problem will almost solve itself. Now, as far as these camps, I don't know exactly specifically what they do. I know they play a lot of games because that helps the kids drop the story and connect.
Mm-hmm.
And these camps, there's several people that do these camps. They've been doing them for 20 years, and the problem is that they do, you know, the kids do get to be good friends, but when they go home, it backfires on them. Their friends turn on them. one girl talked about how on Facebook, she just doesn't go on Facebook anymore because people are so mean and brutal. And so that's not unusual. It's just not unusual for that to happen. When you take somebody out of the normal environment and change their behavior, there has to be something that helps them to integrate that when they go home. Or it doesn't
yeah,
work.
There's yeah, there's not a support system, and they're back into the same conflict.
Yeah,
and
they're not strong enough. You know, they're just mm-hmm. kids.
Right.
They can't do what they need to do. So that's why I think that's why I, you know, responded to this, because I understood that, and I didn't know where the story was going to go. I just knew it was going to start with camp, and it just magically unfolded into this really fun story that's inspiring. Most people have told us that once they start reading, they can't stop, and I love books like that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
True. Well, and also, like, the girl who was, let's see, she was Israeli, right? Her mother was very accepting of her marrying and being involved with a Palestine boy. And and she got that support. You did show in the book there was that all the kids that came back had, when they started talking to each other, they all had problems of, it was more a problem with peers, too, of going to school and admitting to people they had friends who were, you know, not of the same nationality, the enemy, quote unquote.
Yeah. Yeah. Like one point, Shaker was playing basketball with his Israeli friend that he had met at camp, and his Palestinian friends came up and they said, "Hey, you want to play with us?" And they said, "No, we don't want to play with that guy." So,
yeah.
And that's the kind of way, that's the way people are. That's the way we've been with Blacks and Hispanics and others, anybody that's different than we are. That's
yeah,
what we do.
It brings up the fear. Well, we have to take another break, so we'll come back and talk more about the Friendship Pot Affair.
Do you feel that there's a bigger, better life for you? Is there anything holding you back from living the life you were meant to live? If you'd like to find your life's true purpose and calling, join the world's foremost authority on primal spirituality, David Karsher, in Becoming a Son Radio, emotional and spiritual intelligence for a happy, fulfilling life. Tune in once a month to Becoming a Son Radio with David Karsher on the Dr. Pat Show and Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit davidkarsher.com today.
Are you traveling most of your day? Do you want to take Transformation Talk Radio with you anywhere you go? Well, guess what? There's an app for that. Just go to the App Store on your Apple device or the Google Play Store on your Android and search Transformation Talk Radio. Catch all of our live shows no matter where you are. Thanks for listening.
If you're dealing with fear and anxiety, you've probably noticed that the more you fight these emotions, the stronger they seem to get. Dr. Friedemann Schaub, the author of The Fear and Anxiety Solution, explains that instead of suppressing, we need to identify and resolve the deeper, subconscious root causes of fear and anxiety. His personal breakthrough program has helped thousands worldwide to overcome their emotional challenges. To learn more, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com and schedule your free consultation with Dr. Schaub now.
Tune in to the hit show Master's Chambers with your trusted friend, Connie Fife, Mondays, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Each week, Connie will connect you with the best of the best thought leaders from around the globe to share their strategies and best practices. Getting better together. To book Connie, visit ConnieFifeSpeaks.com.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, and we're talking about the Friendship Pod Affair with Renee Molin Masters. So, Renee, please give your website, and I think you have an offer for people.
Yes, it's friendshippod.com, one pod, friendshippod.com. And if you go there and you give us your email, we will be sending you a link on the day before the book is released, and you can click on that link on the 9th, and you can get $2 off on the book. And you will also be joining a conversation in that website where you will get a chance to meet other people that are setting up pods and find out what we're doing, because what we're doing is helping people set up pods, friendship pods, all over the world. And so we would love to have you as a part of that voice. And it's free.
So, great.
Yeah. So go to friendshippod.com.
Right. Get $2 off the book. That's great. Well, yeah. So we've been talking about connections and talking about how the Friendship Pod works and how it's impacted people in the book. But part of that aspect that I want to talk about is forgiveness. That's a place you have to get to kind of move forward with continuing these relationships or developing a relationship between somebody who's supposedly the enemy, or if you have this, you know, like the father was so angry and had I can't remember exactly, did he have a brother that was killed by an Israeli or whatever like that, and those kinds of things happen. How does the Friendship Pod work around forgiveness?
Well, I personally think forgiveness is a tough thing to do. You can do it artificially, but if forgiveness is really going to work, you have to do it so that it's organic. And the beauty of the Friendship Pod is that you don't have to, it just happens. It's before you know it, you see the other person. You see the angst in the other person. You understand why this other person has done this. You understand why this enemy has hurt you in the way that he has, and you see that their hurt is your hurt. And out of that, forgiveness just happens. And it sounds magical, and it is magical, but it's also common. It's very possible for anybody to experience this. It's not airy-fairy stuff.
Well, I was thinking of it, too, as a state of being. It's not necessarily an action. You can't make yourself forgive because your feelings are going to be behind that, and if they're not ready to forgive, you're not really forgiving.
No, and I think sometimes, because I know I've done this, sometimes you know you should forgive because you know it's the best thing to do, and yet emotionally, and that's more of a mental thing, gymnastic thing that you do, but it doesn't really translate fully emotionally. And what I think the Friendship Pod does is it erases that mental thing, and you don't worry about it, and you just, something just happens, and before you know it, you go, oh, wow, I understand now. I understand why this happened. And it's like it releases something inside of you so that you can then connect. And once that connection happens, it's all over.
Yes. Yeah, and then it's just moving forward of you know, developing, I would imagine, wonderful friendships from this. Well, you mentioned that people can sign up and, like, start friendship pods. Tell us what's been happening with friendship pods in the world. Are there, you know, how many pods? Are there pods going on, and
well,
in what countries?
It's all going to start on the 9th. so we've gotten different people that are joining us. But when you set up a pod, there's going to be there's support teams there to help you with your pods. There will be videos that you can watch and watch other pods. There's going to be live streaming so that you can see other pods running, so that you know how it happens. It's imitating what's in the book, which is kind of weird. But it is. It's that kind of thing. And that all will begin on May 9th.
Well, how many have you had people already sign up that they're going to start one?
We haven't made that available yet.
Okay.
Because everything is starting on the 9th. We wanted to wait until the book
Right.
Was.
But it sounded like you did some test ones.
Well, the marketing company that I'm working with, all of us have been experimenting with it and been having friendship pods with different people in our lives. And all of us have been reporting different things happening. And when people are working on a project together, one of the problems that exists sometimes is, how do you get everybody working in the same direction? And when you have different personalities. And what we have found is that if you do a friendship pod and people share what's important to them, then that magical connection happens, and all of a sudden the train starts going in the same direction. And when the train is going in the same direction, anything is possible. And that's what happens when you use the pod in not to solve an angst, but to solve a way for people to work together. We've also had a conductor who is interested in this, and he conducts big orchestras. And the problem is that orchestras are so big, it's difficult for them to work together. But they're exploring this as a possibility of getting them, everybody working together. And you know that's when amazing things can happen, when everybody is working together, when the music and the video, like in a film, when the music and the acting and the words and everything is all working together, it's like astounding when it all comes together and everything is perfect. It's just a stunning experience. And I think the friendship pods have the power to do that with anything that involve people.
Mm-hmm. Where did the name come from, Friendship Pods?
It came out of my brain. I didn't know what to do. I was sitting there one day, I was writing, and I'm going, what am I going to call this thing? And then all of a sudden it came out, and then I didn't know what to call the book. I just didn't know what to call the book. Because every name has been taken. So finally I just said, well, why don't I just do the Friendship Pod Affair? You know? So that's how it all happened.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I've been involved in circles for many years. It's Woman Wisdom, which is built on circles. And so I know the power of circle. Like even our business meetings, our council that runs the organization, we start every meeting with people sharing, you know, getting that ground floor of people coming together, and so we understand where everybody's coming from that day, because someone may have had a really bad day and they could just express it, so then you kind of know, oh, that's why she's so grumpy, or whatever it is, great, you know, exciting things, and kind of dropping those things and letting them go so you can be fully present. And the other thing that we've created, which is, you know, more for our organization, but it can be for any kind of groups, we call it a healing circle. So it's similar, but it's different in that there's a purpose to come to some resolutions based on what comes. But it starts with that whole sharing of going around the circle and sharing from everybody's what they experienced, what they're feeling about the situation. Because, you know, we're calling it a healing circle for there's some reason, something happened. Often, or a conflict between two people or a group conflict. And when everybody talks, and it's kind of like a spiral, you keep going round and round until you know you're done. Because you kind of go deeper into the topic, you allow yourself to drop down and feel safer to say things after the first round. It gets deeper, and it might take three rounds. And then I know myself, I start to see patterns and realizing, something's been missing in our policies or our procedures, and we co-create the resolution, co-create how we're going to resolve a problem or correct something or put a policy in place. Everybody there is involved in creating it, and we come away with an action plan and close. And so it's always worked. It's very powerful. So it's very similar, but a different purpose. I mean, you know, just the names are different. You know, being a friendship pod, you're dealing with more, you know, with friends and interpersonal dynamics, and ours is kind of more, you know, it's came out of the need that we had in the organization of, but wherever you go and you have groups, you have people, you come across conflicts, and sometimes they're little ones, but they may be big to one person, and you need to have a way to for people to feel safe to express.
Exactly. And to just say what's on their heart. And I don't know if you've noticed this, but when you go around the circle and everybody's expressed their piece, it's like, okay, that all gets out. And you have a problem that you need to solve, and everybody has expressed their ideas about the problem. Once that happens, it's like there's a possibility to create something that you didn't even consider when you started.
Right, yeah, that and happens.
Have you noticed that happening?
Oh, yeah, because if I was to have an idea, it's just my idea, but when you're co-creating and everybody's putting their ideas together, it evolves into something totally new.
Yeah, and I think that's what the founding fathers knew, and we have forgotten this. I really do. I think they understood that. And I think that for some reason we have gotten in our country where the Democrats and the Republicans, they fight their purpose is to fight one another and try and change the other person. That we've lost this working together thing. And I think that our founding fathers understood that. They understood how to work together. And I think that a friendship pod with people that believe differently politically when there's a problem could actually start solving some of the problems that seem unsolvable.
Yes, wouldn't that be nice? Well, we have to take another break. We can't solve the problems of our government right now. We'll come back after the break and talk more with Renee.
Tune in to Dynamics of Diversity Radio, scripting the new narrative for immigration with leading experts Kripa Upadhyay and Steve Tanija on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will remove the noise that often accompanies discussions on this topic and share a new perspective on the dynamics of immigration and diversity, ever reminding us that together we are all at the core of innovation, excellence, and positive change. Visit OrbitLawPLLC.com for upcoming topics.
Discover the healing medicine from the giant monkey tree frog Cambo. Cambo practitioner Ginny Rutherford and professional psychic Todd Rolson have come together for lively discussions of alternative healing medicines from the Amazon. Ginny and Todd bring you Cambo Talk Radio. Tune in each Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific to hear from guests all over the world with real life stories and the medicinal benefits of Cambo. For more information, visit CamboKiss.com.
Tune in to Mainstream Metaphysics Radio to harness your connection with the universe to effect change for optimal success and happiness. Named one of the country's top psychics, Eve now brings her insights and gifts to this weekly hit call-in show, joined by visionaries, leaders, and gifted others, but mostly you. Jot it down, Thursdays, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, and my guest today is Renee Molin Masters. We've been talking about her new book, The Friendship Pod Affair. It's coming out May 9th. Renee, I'd love for you to share, you know, why you did this, why writing this book, and what is it that you want to accomplish, and you know, the rest of your life. How about that?
Well, I have about 5 or 6 or 7 stories that are just sitting off in the back that want to come out. And one of the things that I've always done is I've tried to inspire greatness in people. And I love doing that. I love inspiring people. And I think this book does that. And I think my other book does that. And that's why I'm writing these stories. My next story, I don't want to give away because I don't want anybody to steal this, but the next story is going to be, it's kind of its working title is They Called a War and Nobody Came. And so I've always wanted to write this story. I think it would be great. And then I have another story that has to do with when the people get done reading it or seeing it on film, they end up really loving the earth in a way they never have loved the earth before. And it's going to be a very fun and funny story. And the next one is a story about, it's a story that has to do with women loving themselves and honoring themselves in a way they never have before. And so that's that story. And, you know, there's others, but those are the 4 that I...
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that, you know, women, I mean, it's my show, Voices of Women, but women honoring themselves, and it's such a, you know, we're all working on it, but there's so much of it still because the world still reflects back that women aren't respected and honored. And it starts with us. And so to have a book that taps into that, and there's many books out there, but sometimes, you know, just even having a fiction book, a good story that allows people to dive into that for themselves of looking at where you're not respecting yourself, you know, as a woman. And because we get so many messages that we're not, or that we have to live up to the skinny model version and the beauty thing and the youth thing and all those things that aren't really true.
No. And it's like, you know, I love my dad, but when I was 16, he told me I wouldn't be able to take care of myself, that I'd have to depend on a husband. Which was the old belief system. And it's like, come on, give me a break. And I've never, you know, I've always taken care of myself. So it's just kind of funny the way that, I don't know how this all happened, but we're coming out. And I just say, I'm in the arena, and I'm really happy that I'm in the arena. And it's been, a year ago, I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know if this book would get published. I didn't know anything. And as I sit here today, the book's coming out the 9th. I have a film that's already starting to happen. We have the funding source, and we have all these different people starting. And so all I want to say to people is get into the arena. You will not. It's just amazing what can happen if you just get in the arena.
Yeah, I'm reading a lot of books right now because people sending me books to be interviewed on the show, and one of them is about making decisions, and the second aspect of that is to make the commitment, because sometimes we'll have our foot out the door or an escape route that, well, maybe something better. Can't quite commit to this because it could be something better, and that you just need to make commitments. And the same that being in the arena is like making a commitment to yourself.
I love, and you have to say, and you say, okay, I'm in the arena. All right, what if I fall flat on my face? Well, so what? So what if you fall flat on your face? A lot of men who have done amazing things have fallen flat on their face. And you need to pick yourself up and take the next step. Sometimes I don't even know what I'm doing. And all I do is I follow the crumbs and I just take one step at a time. And it's amazing where it's taken me. And it is scary at times. And that's where you have to have a support group of people that will encourage you or help you when you're feeling afraid. But it's okay to be afraid.
Yeah,
it's okay. And we have to start looking to the way men have been willing. They have been willing to push through the fear. And we as women, if we want to be heard, we have to be willing to be in the arena, and we have to be willing to push through the fear.
Yeah, I think that's so true. I'm in a transition because I'm kind of basically retiring from Women of Wisdom and passing on the torch, passing on my roles. It's going to be a year of training and advising and all that. But, I'm seeing the need of I'm going to create a transition group.
Yeah.
It could be a transition friendship pod. I don't know, but I'm going to, I just realized because I need that support and I don't want to push into anything. I think that's a mistake too. Sometimes too quickly you push through things to try to make things happen versus things work for me when I allow them to come to me and I see something like, oh, wow, I'll follow that thread. That looks interesting.
I think allowing is good, but you have to be clear about, you have to keep yourself going in a direction, even when you're allowing. You have to, it always shows up differently. But the thing that I've seen in a lot of women is that when they allow, they're kind of like a sailboat where the sails are whisting in the wind, they're kind of flapping in the wind. When you allow, you still have to have like focus and direction. Because it's okay, you don't know what's going to show up, you don't know when you're going to move, but at least you know what direction you're going to go in.
Oh, I think at my age, there's direction. I don't want to push it. I think sometimes when you push it, you get your head hit by a 2x4. So, and I'm in a transition time, so I think there's too a time when you need to sit back and not do anything. In between jobs in my career, when I left at work, I would take 6 months off before I went on to something else. And I think that's important to do for yourself, too. So I'm in that stage right now because I've done for 25 years and I need, my breathing space. And I know the right things will come forward of what I'm
absolutely
to do. I've already created a trajectory. It's just going to show up differently. And so it's exciting. So anyway, it's exciting to be in that place. And for you, it's exciting. Well, you even have this. So this friendship pod affair is going to be a movie.
Uh huh. It is.
Yeah,
it's exciting. Already the script is almost. It's 99% done. It'll be done by Monday, and we have a producer in LA that is excited. That's been looking for films that make a difference, and so they're going to fund it, and we're getting. We're attracting the people to come and do it. And so it's really exciting to have that happening too. And that's been the dream, actually, from the very beginning, was to do a series of films. I don't know if I'll write another book. I think I'll just do a series of films.
Well, good luck to you and congrats on the book and also that it's becoming a film. I mean, that is a major achievement. And obviously, needs to make a lot of connections. And one of the things we talked about is the connections. So everybody be sure to check out Renee's website, friendshippod.com. Sign up for the newsletter. You'll get a $2 off coupon for the book that comes out May 9th. So So thank you so much, Renee, for being on the show today.
Thank you.
Yeah. So this is... Yeah, so this is Chris Stainis, and I'm founder of Woman of Wisdom Foundation. Also want to point out that my Woman of Wisdom book, Empowering the Genes and Spirit of Women, that it's been a softback book for several years, is now Kindle form, which is exciting because it's all in color. There's a lot of art in the book. It's an expression of the divine feminine of art, poetry, stories. Are some of our amazing speakers like Jean Houston, Jean Schnodebolin, Marianne Woodman, and then stories from participants and co-creators of Woman of Wisdom. And so all that's in the book. It's available at Kindle. You know where to go to find a Kindle book. So, yes. Well, we're at the end of our shows. I hope everybody has a fabulous weekend, and we'll be back again next Friday.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today, radio with Chris Stainis.